Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The following is paid commercial programming. The content and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WSSP, Entercom Milwaukee, its staff, or sponsors.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone, a show about sports and faith and how the two come together in lives being touched. Right now, discover how people in sports walk in faith with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host each and every week. He's the pastor at Brookside Baptist Church, Ken Keltner. Pastor, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Mike. Good to be with you today and look forward to visiting with Marcus, so it's going to be good.
Yeah, you bet. You know, being a basketball coach and a basketball fan for as many years as I have, I loved watching number 8 play. Mm-hmm. I just did. It's a shame that his number should be retired. That's all I'm saying. I'm going to start the conversation with that. And if there's a bandwagon for that, I'm on it, and I'll lead it. And I'm telling you, I loved watching him play, not only in college, but when they picked him 3rd in the draft that year, I was one of the really, really happy Bucks fans. Our guest today, former Milwaukee Buck and current TV voice for the Milwaukee Bucks, Marcus Johnson. Marcus, how are you today?
I'm doing great, man. If I was doing any better, they'd be two of me. I'd be twins. Blessed and highly favored, as we like to say.
Well, I'll tell you, we feel very blessed to have you on today, Marcus. And look, we'll start if we can with your basketball career. You know, I loved watching you play. I was a big fan of those Bucks teams and the success that you guys had here in Milwaukee. When you look back at that time of your life, was that a good time of your life being here in Milwaukee as a Milwaukee Buck?
Well, that's a tough question. You know, from a worldly standpoint, it was the time of my life, and it was good. The first years here in Milwaukee, coming from Los Angeles, it was a bit of a culture shock. The only point of reference I had back in those days, remember, it was 1977, so it was like Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley, you know, kind of what they
were about.
And that's the honest to God truth. I didn't really have a good grasp. I talked with Kareem some out in Los Angeles the times that we were around each other, and he wasn't too high on Milwaukee, but I figured, you know, it was a big city. How different could it be? And then that first winter I was here, it was the coldest winter than they'd had here in 20 years. The second year was more snow than they'd had in 30 years. So the first two winters were brutal. I'm telling you, they were brutal. And I, at that point, I was wondering what I got myself into. But as time passed, the more people I got to know and the more teammates I was able to bond with. I had a great group of guys that I was with, and that was a big key.
Yeah, you really did. The day that trade came down, Marcus, I got to tell you, that was not a good day for me. I thought, why? I'm not quite sure why, you know, Nelson's doing this, and he made this trade, and I didn't see it coming. And so, as a fan, I was not happy. I was coaching basketball at that point. I've coached now for 34 years. I'm in my 34th year coaching. And so I followed the Bucks really close back then and was not happy with that trade. I would assume, though, it wasn't bad for you to go back home, correct?
Well, you know, if it were the Lakers as opposed to the Clippers, it would have been the perfect world in my mind at that time, based on my finite kind of knowledge of my life and what was going on at that point. I thought that external things could fix me internally. And there was a lot of internal stuff going on. There was some issues that I was having with drugs and alcohol, substance abuse, that I had tried to address a couple of years prior to that trade. I went through drug rehab in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and that didn't last. And Don Nelson and the team, they were aware of it. So it's a lot of things going on that the fan base wasn't aware of. And I was thinking that a change of scenery to get back home would be the fix it for me, the big fix. And so in my mind, it was a good deal. Now, Don Nelson did warn me before I left for Los Angeles. I'd come to Milwaukee. The trade was made right at the start of training camp, I believe. I got to Milwaukee. The trade was made. And so I left for Los Angeles. Before I left, Don Nelson told me that, look, you know, MJ, we're not sending you to the Lakers. This isn't a situation where you've got Jerry Buss and Magic Johnson and everything is just you know, honky-dory. You're going to the Clippers. And Donald Sterling is a different type of owner, and we just, you know, I just want you to know that, you know, he is he could be a tough owner to play for. And again, my mind, oh, how tough can it be? You know, going out to the Clippers, chance to go to Los Angeles, first year with the Clippers, moving from San Diego to Los Angeles, had good teammates in Norm Nixon and Derek Smith and James Donaldson and others. And I thought it would just be a nice, smooth transition. That wasn't the case. So that's kind of how that played out.
Well, I tell you, the Clippers now, that wouldn't be a bad place to be rather than the Lakers. But I can tell you that the love that the fan base had for you as a player, and obviously we didn't know a lot of stuff that was going on behind the scenes and personally for you at that point. But, you know, there's still a lot of love for you as a basketball player here with the Milwaukee Bucks fan base. So when you came back and agreed to be the color analyst for the TV show or the TV games, it really I think it took some people by surprise, and it was really well received here in the Milwaukee community. And I just want to thank you for doing that. Are you having fun doing that? The team is struggling a little bit. They're playing better as of late, but it's been a tough year for them.
Yeah, well, first, you know, when I was approached, I was doing a radio show in Los Angeles on the CBS radio affiliate, the Beast 980 of all names. I wasn't crazy about the name, you know, to start off with, the Beast 980. But I made the mistake of telling the program director and the owner of the radio station that I was an early riser, which I am. And so they put me on the morning drive slot, and I had to get up at 3 a.m. I mean, I like to get up early, but not that early.
Right.
I had to be at the studio by 4 a.m. We had, a 5:30 start, 5:30 to 9 a.m. every morning. So I did that for a solid year with Jeannie Zelasco, who did Major League Baseball with Kevin Kennedy, a very talented lady, great lady, Christian. Had a great time working with her. So that's where I was the year prior to the Bucks coming into the picture. And it came just kind of out of the blue, out of the clear blue. Just out of nowhere, Roy Hamilton, a good friend of mine who I played with at UCLA, he's an executive at Fox. He's the guy that's responsible for me having the success I've had as a broadcaster. Roy used to always tell me, well, you know, as long as I have a job, you'll have a job. And so, but he's the guy that came to me and said that there was some interest on the Bucks' part about me doing some games. And I knew that John McLaughlin had been here forever, working with Bill Paschke. I knew they'd been here forever. And initially I'm like, okay, I'll just go ahead and go through the motions just out of courtesy, but with no real intent to uproot and move out of Los Angeles. And when I came out to Milwaukee for the meetings and to work with Jim on kind of an audition situation at the Bradley Center, I was staying at the Hyatt. And so I went across the street to a little breakfast spot right across the street from the Hyatt Hotel downtown. And there was a gentleman in there that got all excited and told me he had to go home and get his mother to come back and see that I was there in town because he hadn't seen me in 30 years. So that was one thing. And so that was interesting. It's like, okay, the people here still kind of remember me. We got to the Bradley Center. There was a bunch of workers cleaning up and sweeping up and whatnot. And just one worker just got real excited. It was like, MJ, man, welcome back home, baby. Welcome back home. And then the other workers recognized me, and they started saying similar. You know, it was just – and that's when it first kind of hit me, you know, that the people here, you know, I just, for whatever reason, appreciated how I played the game while I was here, for whatever reason. I don't know what the reason was, because I'm looking at kind of the dark side of some of the stuff that I was doing at that point in time. That's how you kind of leave it, like – you know, everybody knows, but from what I was able to get from the people here on that first trip back, it was like just the warmest reception, and it just blew me away. And that's when it kind of first resonated with me that maybe this was not such a bad situation, not even a bad situation, but maybe this was a great situation that I need to look at a little bit differently and really be open to, and just see how the Lord was going to lead me. If it was going to work out, it was going to work out. There was other guys who auditioned for the spot, other guys that they brought in for meetings, other guys who played for the Bucks who were younger, very well spoken. So my thought process at that point, well, if it's meant to be, then they'll give me a call back and this thing will move forward. If it's not, I'll continue to do radio. And fortunately, it did work out. I had a great audition with Jim. You know, it's funny because he had on a suit and tie, and I came out kind of casually dressed, not really thinking about everything that was going to be involved. And so that, to me, you know, I sat down next to him, and this was a hot summer day in my casual printed shirt. And, you know, feeling a little self-conscious because I didn't have on a sport coat. So Jim took off his coat and just did his thing in his shirt and tie as opposed to wearing a coat. And so little things like that worked out. We had a great, great audition together, and it just clicked. The chemistry was wonderful, and things started falling into place. So I'm really, really feeling like this was, you know, God's intent for me to come back full circle 30 years later back to where it all started, and it gives me a chance to do things differently this time around.
We are talking to Marcus Johnson, former Milwaukee Buck, current TV voice for the Bucks. Marcus, you made a comment there that said, you know, I don't know, for some reason, you know, these people still remember me. I'll tell you why. Because it's the reason that I loved watching you play, because you worked really hard on the floor and you didn't care a lot about, at least it looked like from the stands, didn't care a lot about personal numbers. You just wanted to win basketball games. And here in the city of Milwaukee, if you're a guy that they think can carry a lunch pail, you know, that kind of guy that's going to go down, set picks, rebound, and can score the ball when needed, they're going to fall in love with you, and they certainly did over your career. Guys, let's get to a quick break. Other side of the break, Marcus, we're going to talk a little bit about your faith and how it's affected your life professionally and personally. Again, we're talking to Marcus Johnson, former Milwaukee Buck. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone, an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Sorens Ford of Brookfield. Here's host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church. We are joined by Marcus Johnson, former Milwaukee Buck and current TV voice for the Milwaukee Bucks. Boy, that's a really powerful testimony, mm-hmm. Pastor. And again, you know, we talk about this on this show. We've had a number of guys. The worst thing they've done is steal a candy bar. And then we've had guys like Marcus and Daryl Strubber and myself and some other guys. Randy Grimes comes to mm-hmm. mind, yeah. Former Tampa Bay Buccaneer. That, you know what, the Lord gets our attention, man. He gets our attention. And when Marcus said, look, I the relationship that I have now with Jesus Christ, I wasn't sure I could get it back. I wasn't sure I was still holding my hand, but he was. And that's what just, for me personally, that just still to this day shocks me. With as much stuff as some of us have done in our life, the fact that when we're on our knees and we're willing to turn it over and have that relationship and say, look, I can't do this on my own anymore, Lord, that he's right there for us.
His invitation is always open to anyone who can come to Jesus and say, I need you to come into my life and save me. And I loved it how Marcus was sharing that because, you know, I mean, is that invitation still open for me, you know, after everything I've known and learned and then everything I've done to turn and run away from that? God's invitation is always open. John 3:16 is one of the greatest verses. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I love it. I love hearing testimonies like Marcus that God you know, God didn't give up on him. He kept bringing people like John Wooden, Coach Wooden in his life.
Lorenzo Romar.
Lorenzo, yep. Yeah. And then yep. all of a sudden to see, you know, his eyes and his heart open and say, I'm tired of trying to do it myself. I haven't found that happiness, and I want Christ.
Hey, Marcus, do you find it, don't you find, at least in my life, don't you just find it easier to live this life? I mean, it's more, you know, people, I think when I stopped drinking and, you know, people were like, well, you're not going to be any fun anymore. And I thought, wow, you got to be kidding me. I think I'm way more fun now. I'm clear-minded. I wake up every morning feeling good. And, you know, I praise the Lord and thank the Lord for that. And I think that as I look around and see some of the guys that I used to hang out with that are still doing the same stuff, I think, man, come on, let me help you, because there's a way better way.
You're absolutely right, man. It's easier. It's being more productive. It's all the good stuff. It's all the good stuff. That other life, this double life, like this Jekyll and Hyde lifestyle that I was leading. I mean, that's a lot of work. That's a lot of hard work.
It is.
To fool people, and then all of a sudden, the dark side starts bleeding over into, you know, into the fake life that you're leading, and trying to pretend that you're a Christian and you're upstanding and all that. The other thing, the other point in terms of kind of how God has worked in my life, there's a church in my neighborhood where I grew up, Angeles Major Presbyterian Church, and I went there a couple of times, and it was a real, real boring kind of a service, a Presbyterian. I grew up in a Baptist church, and but they had a great basketball court. So I would go there and play basketball every day. What happened was that I was lifting weights in this health club near my home, and I met this guy named Tim Cyrus. And Tim Cyrus happens to be the pastor of this Presbyterian church. So he kept asking me to come by. So finally I did one Easter Sunday about 6 or 7 years ago. And to make a long story short, now I'm an ordained elder in this Presbyterian church. So it's just funny how things work out, is my point. I mean, you know, you tell God what your plans are. He may laugh at you because he may have something totally different in store for you. And Tim Cyrus, when he asked me to be an elder about 3 years ago, I was like, come on, man. I just want to go to church, enjoy the service, and enjoy your word. You know, so he's like, well, ask your mother. I was like, come on, Tim. You know, I can't ask my mother. If I ask my mother, you know what she's gonna say. Yeah. She's gonna tell me to do it. So anyway, we laughed about it, but it's been one of the greatest moves of my life. I get a chance to impact the lives of youth in the area where I grew up. And it's just funny to me that I would never in a million years have pictured myself not only going to this Presbyterian church as being raised as a Baptist, but being an ordained elder in a Presbyterian church. So it's amazing how God, it's one of the miracles of God.
You know? Hey, Marcus, your family, you've got, do you have five sons?
Yes.
When this started, this transition to who you are now, how was that, your family, how did they accept that? Did they look at you and think, okay, maybe we've heard this before, or have they just fully embraced who you are now?
They fully embrace it. I mean, they love it. I mean, my second son, Josiah, who will have an animated cartoon series called Legends debuting at the end of summer on Comedy Central, but he went to UCLA, played at UCLA. He kind of bore the brunt of a lot of the stuff in terms of issues going on when I was having the substance abuse issues back when he was young, when he was a youngster. But I mean, one day he just came to me and said that he just loved the change in me. And I said, "What are you talking about? You know, when you say you're going to be somewhere, going to do something, you follow through now." You know,
yeah, sure.
I never thought about that, but I would always tell them, "Yeah, I'll come get you. I'm going to me and his mom divorced, and so I'm going to pick you up. Or we're going to do this together, do that together, just to placate them for the moment." But had every intent to do it. And there's a wise writing that says that you know, I judge myself by my intentions, while the world judges me by my actions. Mm-hmm. I intended, you know, to do all these good things, but because of the issues I was dealing with, I was just never able to follow through. And this new relationship with God and sobriety and the whole ball of wax allows me to be a man of my word, to be able to follow through with what I say I'm going to do today. And that, to me, is just a great way to live.
Yeah, and Marcus, it sounds like you're probably able to really talk to folks that are searching for answers out there, and you're probably sharing with them, hey, I know exactly what you're going through. I went through that. but I can point you to the one who can take care of that problem and set your feet on the truth of His Word.
Well, the Bible says that Jesus was tempted at every point, right? Yeah. I mean, so I mean, and that's kind of the example that the Lord has given us that we can overcome temptation, overcome sin, over you know, with that it's going to be there. Mm-hmm. But there's something about the power of the blood of Jesus that allows me to go ahead and walk through this stuff and have that as an example, have Him and to use the Lord as an example of how to get through some of these tough times. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Marcus, your sons, some of them awfully, awfully good basketball players, correct? They followed you and played at UCLA. And how were you as a parent sitting in the stands watching these boys play?
Terrible. I mean, I was just like...
hey, Marcus, thank you for that, because I'm getting ready to head out to Pennsylvania to watch the conference tournament, and I'm going to be sitting in the stands, you know?
Hey, I know it's hard when you're a guy and somebody else is coaching your sons. I know exactly how that feels, because Pastor Ken, you know, I coached his four boys, and man, oh man, he was tough on me, Marcus. You should feel sorry for me.
I was tough on them, Mike. I was tough on them. Yeah. Mike used to always say to me, "Hey, your son played phenomenal. Don't say one thing."
The one kid would have 30 and 10 and 7 assists, and he'd say, "Should have had 10 assists." I say, "Man, he almost had a triple double. Be quiet."
That's how we do. My best friend Ed Waters coaches we've been best friends since the seventh grade. He finally got the job at Crenshaw High School where he played, where great coach Willie West. But he coached two of my sons, Joshua and Mariah. And this was probably 7 or 8 years ago that he coached them. And we just gotten to the point maybe 3 years ago where we were talking again. Yeah, I did not like, you know,
It's hard.
I got to ask, though, when you guys get out on the driveway, so you got five boys and yourself, so that's 3-on-3. I mean, when you get out there, I bet that's some games out there in the driveway, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, my youngest is 16. He's a sophomore out in Los Angeles. He's about 6'5", real athletic. So he's the one that I'm dealing with now. And it's just fun watching him get to that point now where, when he was 12, 13, I could kind of bully him down low. But now, He's dunking and blocking my shots, and just kind of looking at me, kind of smirking a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, wipe that smirk off your face. You know?
Absolutely. I hear that.
You better take some of those old game tapes of you, number 8, running up and down the Milwaukee Arena and say, "Okay, young man, this is what I used to be." I could still maybe get to a little part of that, but understand you're a long way from that.
Well, hey, I've done that already. So,
yeah. Good, because if not, you have him call me, because I remember a number of those games. I can let the young man know exactly what kind of player Marcus Johnson was when he was here in Milwaukee. You know, Marcus, your father would be so proud of you right now. He would just be so proud of the man that you've become.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you. I think about him. Yeah. Thinking about him every day, and I appreciate that. Thank you for saying that.
Hey, Marcus, when we had Mark Jackson on, one of the questions we asked him was if he could beat Stephon Curry in horse, and he said, "Absolutely. In my mind, I can beat Stephon Curry in horse. So if I can do it in my mind, then I don't need to worry about doing that on the court."
And he said, he keeps asking me, "I'll never play him. Because still in my mind, I can beat him."
And my boys always say, "Dad, here, let me give you this banner. It says, the older I get, the better I was."
Yeah, that's it. There's no doubt. Hey, Marcus, last question. We'll cut you loose. Do you stay in contact with any of the guys that you played here in Milwaukee with?
Yeah, as I mentioned, Lorenzo Romar and I stay in contact. My son actually went to his basketball camp at the University of Washington last summer. Junior Bridgman is another guy that I stay in contact with. Sidney Moncrief does a lot of work with the Bucks in terms of community service outreach, and we've been able to reconnect this season. Bob Lanier, a lot of guys. It was a special group of young players. Then we added Bob Lanier, but we all came in together in our first, second, third years, and just kind of grew up together. And so there's always going to be that kind of brotherhood, that kind of bond, and I love those guys. And I had a chance to go to Junior's surprise 60th birthday party a couple of years ago in Louisville. And so it's always those kinds of things that keep us together.
Yeah, and you'd said off the air, Paul Pressey, you'd just seen Paul even. So
Father Paul Lloyd Walton, Chicago, doing great things. He's another guy that he just got his PhD. He's Dr. Lloyd Walton now.
Wow!
And former Marquette Warrior. So, and you know, we used to hang out a bit here in Milwaukee together back in the day, along with Charles Money Green, the pastor that I was talking about. And to see these guys grow up and mature, and Lloyd is a man of faith, believes in the Lord, been walking with the Lord for a number of years. So it's just amazing to see the transformation in all our lives, really. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, you know, we're coming up here to March Madness, and you think back on those Bruin teams. I mean, how many national titles did you guys win?
When I was there, it was only one. We won John Wooden's, but it was a big one. It was Coach Wooden's final championship, his 10th championship in 12 years in 1975.
Wow.
We should have won the year before. We had Bill Walton and Jamal Wilkes and just this great, great team the year before. We were upset by David Thompson and North Carolina State in 74. And then a team that didn't quite have the level of talent but had a much higher level of commitment. That 1975 team, my sophomore year, we went on to win and won a championship.
Yeah.
You know, in 77, it was the Marquette Warriors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was Al McGuire and man, that team, I liked watching. This city went crazy when they won that national championship. Man, it was incredible. And then to watch the Badgers last year get so close and not get that, but to get to that game was such a big deal. So, hey, last question. Do you still follow UCLA basketball? Are you a Steve Alford fan?
I like Steve. He's had a tough year this year. I was at a game. I was the honorary captain last Thursday. They played against Utah. So I had a chance to watch them and to spend some time out at UCLA. And they haven't watched a lot of games because of the commitment with the Milwaukee Bucks. But he's got a great recruiting class coming in next year and the year after that. So he's doing the right things. And I think given time, he's going to continue to have success. He's been to two Sweet 16s in a row.
You bet.
This is the down year this year.
Well,
the fans at UCLA, we've got we keep the pressure on coaches. We've got high expectations out there.
Well, if Kayvon Looney would have stuck around another year, he's a Milwaukee guy.
Right.
You know, that would have helped, but being a one and out, that's tough. Guys, we got to get to a break. Marcus, thank you so much for your time. Keep up the good work. Keep utilizing the platform that the Lord has given you, and we just really appreciate your time today.
All right. I appreciate you guys giving me this opportunity, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Marcus.
You bet. Again, that's Marcus Johnson, former Milwaukee Buck, current TV voice for the Milwaukee Bucks. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM. The Fan.
More now of Faith in the Zone, discovering people of sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. Back with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church. We're joined by Marcus Johnson, former Milwaukee Buck and current TV voice for the Milwaukee Bucks. But that's a really powerful testimony, Pastor. And again, we talk about this that on this show. We've had a number of guys. The worst thing they've done is steal a candy bar. And then we've had guys like Marcus and Daryl Strubber and myself and some other guys. Randy Grimes comes to mind, former Tampa Bay Buccaneer. The Lord gets our attention, man. He gets our attention. And when Marcus said, look, the relationship that I have now with Jesus Christ, I wasn't sure I could get it back. I wasn't sure I was still holding my hand, but he was. And that's what just, for me personally, that just still to this day shocks me. With as much stuff as some of us have done in our life, the fact that when we're on our knees and we're willing to turn it over and have that relationship and say, look, I can't do this on my own anymore, Lord, that he's right there for us.
His invitation is always open to anyone who can come to Jesus and say, I need you to come into my life and save me. And I loved it how Marcus was sharing that because— You know, I mean, is that invitation still open for me, you know, after everything I've known and learned and then everything I've done to turn and run away from that? God's invitation is always open. John 3:16 is one of the greatest verses. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I love it. I love hearing testimonies like Marcus that God didn't give up on him. He kept bringing people like John Wooden, Coach Wooden in his life.
Lorenzo Romar.
Yep. Yeah. And then all of a sudden to see, his eyes and his heart open and say, I'm tired of trying to do it myself. I haven't found that happiness, and I want Christ.
Hey, Marcus, do you find it, don't you find, at least in my life, don't you just find it easier to live this life? I mean, it's more, people, I think when I stopped drinking and people were like, well, you're not going to be any fun anymore. And I thought, wow, you got to be kidding me. I think I'm way more fun now. I'm clear-minded. I wake up every morning feeling good. And, I praise the Lord and thank the Lord for that. And I think that as I look around and see some of the guys that I used to hang out with that are still doing the same stuff, I think, man, come on, let me help you, because there's a way better way.
You're absolutely right, man. It's easier. It's being more productive. It's all the good stuff. It's all the good stuff. That other life, this double life, like this Jekyll and Hyde lifestyle that I was leading. But that's a lot of work. That's a lot of hard work to fool people. And then all of a sudden, the dark side starts bleeding over into into the fake life that you're leading, and trying to pretend that you're a Christian and you're upstanding and all that. The other thing, the other point in terms of kind of how God has worked in my life, there's a church in my neighborhood where I grew up, Angeles Major Presbyterian Church, and I went there a couple of times, and it was a real, real boring kind of a service, a Presbyterian. I grew up in a Baptist church, but they had a great basketball court. So I would go there and play basketball every day. What happened was that I was lifting weights in this health club near my home, and I met this guy named Tim Cyrus. And Tim Cyrus happens to be the pastor of this Presbyterian church. So he kept asking me to come by. So finally I did one Easter Sunday about 6 or 7 years ago. And to make a long story short, now I'm an ordained elder in this Presbyterian church. it's just funny how things work out, is my point. I mean, you tell God what your plans are. He may laugh at you because he may have something totally different in store for you. And Tim Cyrus, when he asked me to be an elder about 3 years ago, I was like, come on, man. I just want to go to church, enjoy the service, and enjoy your word. He's like, well, ask your mother. I was like, come on, Tim. I can't ask my mother. If I ask my mother, you know what she's gonna say. Yeah. She's gonna tell me to do it. So anyway, we laughed about it, but it's been one of the greatest moves of my life. I get a chance to impact the lives of youth in the area where I grew up. And it's just funny to me that I would never in a million years have pictured myself not only going to this Presbyterian church as being raised as a Baptist, but being an ordained elder in a Presbyterian church. So it's amazing how God, it's one of the miracles of God.
Hey, Marcus, your family, you've got, do you have 5 sons?
Yes.
When this started, this transition to who you are now, how was that, your family, how did they accept that? Did they look at you and think, okay, maybe we've heard this before, or have they just fully embraced who you are now?
They have fully embraced it. I mean, they love it. I mean, my second son, Josiah, who will have an animated cartoon series called Legends debuting at the end of summer on Comedy Central, but he went to UCLA, played at UCLA. He kind of bore the brunt of a lot of the stuff in terms of issues going on when I was having the substance abuse issues back when he was a youngster. But I mean, one day he just came to me and said that he just loved the change in me. And I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Well, when you say you're going to be somewhere, you're going to do something, you follow through now."
Yeah, sure.
And I never thought about that, but I would always tell them, "Yeah, I'll come get you. I'm going to me and his mom divorced, and so I'm going to pick you up, or we're going to do this together, do that together, just to placate them for the moment." But had every intent to do it. And there's a wise writing that says that I judge myself by my intentions, while the world judges me by my actions. Mm-hmm. I intended to do all these good things, but because of the issues I was dealing with, I was just never able to follow through. And this new relationship with God and sobriety and the whole ball of wax allows me to to be a man of my word, to be able to follow through with what I say I'm going to do today. And that, to me, is just a great way to live.
Yeah, and Marcus, it sounds like you're probably able to really talk to folks that are searching for answers out there, and you're probably sharing with them, hey, I know exactly what you're going through. I went through that, but I can point you to the one who can take care of that problem and set your feet on the truth of his word.
Well, the Bible says that Jesus was tempted at every point, right? Yeah. And that's kind of the example that the Lord has given us, that we can overcome temptation, overcome sin, that it's going to be there. Mm-hmm. But there's something about the power of the blood of Jesus that allows me to go ahead and walk through this stuff and have that as an example, have him and to use the Lord as an example of how to get through some of these tough times.
Hey, Marcus, your sons, some of them awfully, awfully good basketball players, correct? They followed you and played at UCLA. And how were you as a parent sitting in the stands watching these boys play?
Terrible. I mean, I was just like...
hey, Marcus, thank you for that, because I'm getting ready to head out to Pennsylvania to watch the conference tournament, and I'm going to be sitting in the stands, you know?
Hey, I know it's hard when you're a guy and somebody else is coaching your sons. I know exactly how that feels, because Pastor Ken, you know, I coached his four boys, and man, oh man, he was tough on me, Marcus. You should feel sorry for me.
I was tough on them, Mike. I was tough on them. Yeah. Mike used to always say to me, "Hey, your son played phenomenal. Don't say one thing."
The one kid would have 30 and 10 and 7 assists, and he'd say, "Should have had 10 assists." I say, "Man, he almost had a triple double. Be quiet."
That's how we do it. That's how we do it. You know, my best friend Ed Waters coaches we've been best friends since the seventh grade. He finally got the job at Crenshaw High School where I played, where he played for a great coach, Willie West. But he coached two of my sons, Joshua and Mariah. And this was probably 7 or 8 years ago that he coached them. And we just gotten to the point maybe 3 years ago where we're talking again.
Yeah.
You know, I did not like, you know, it.
Hard.
I got to ask, though, when you guys get out on the driveway, so you got five boys and yourself, so that's 3-on-3. I mean, when you get out there, I bet that's some games out there in the driveway, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, my youngest is 16. He's a sophomore out in Los Angeles. He's about 6'5", real athletic. So he's the one that I'm dealing with now. And it's just fun watching him get to that point now where, you know, when he was 12, 13, I could kind of bully him down low. But now he's dunking and blocking my shots and just kind of looking at me, kind of smirking a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm like, wipe that smirk off your face, you know.
Absolutely. I hear that.
You better take some of those old game tapes of you at number 8 running up and down the Milwaukee Arena and say, okay, young man, this is what I used to be. I could still maybe get to a little part of that, but understand you're a long way from that.
Well, you know I've done that already. So,
yeah. Good, because if not, you have him call me, because I remember a number of those games. I can let the young man know exactly what kind of player Marcus Johnson was when he was here in Milwaukee. You know, Marcus, your father would be so proud of you right now. He would just be so proud of the man that you've become.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you. I think about him. Yeah. Thinking about him every day, and I appreciate that. Thank you for saying that.
Hey, Marcus, when we had Mark Jackson on, one of the questions we asked him was if he could beat Stephon Curry in horse, and he said, "Absolutely. In my mind, I can beat Stephon Curry in horse. So if I can do it in my mind, then I don't need to worry about doing it out on the court."
And he said, he keeps asking me, "I'll never play him. Because still in my mind, I can beat him."
And my boys always say, "Dad, here, let me give you this banner. It says, the older I get, the better I was."
Yeah, there's no doubt. Hey, Marcus, last question, we'll cut you loose. Do you stay in contact with any of the guys that you played here in Milwaukee with?
Yeah, as I mentioned, Lorenzo Romar and I stay in contact. My son actually went to his basketball camp at the University of Washington last summer. Junior Bridgman is another guy that I stay in contact with. Sidney Moncrief does a lot of work with the Bucks in terms of community service outreach, and we've been able to reconnect this season. Bob Lanier, yeah, I mean a lot of guys. I mean, it was a special group of young players. Then we added Bob Lanier, but we all came in together in our first, second, third years, and just kind of grew up together. And so there's always going to be that kind of brotherhood, that kind of bond. And I love those guys. And I had a chance to go to Junior's surprise 60th birthday party a couple of years ago in Louisville. And so it's always those kinds of things that keep us together.
Yeah, and you'd said off the air, Paul Pressey, you'd just seen Paul even. So
Paul Lloyd Walton in Chicago doing great things. He's another guy that he just got his PhD. He's Dr. Lloyd Walton now.
Wow!
And former Marquette Warrior. So, and you know, we used to hang out a bit here in Milwaukee together back in the day, along with Charles Money Green, the pastor that I was talking about. And to see these guys grow up and mature, and Lloyd is a man of faith, believes in the Lord, been walking with the Lord for a number of years. So it's just amazing to see the transformation in all our lives. Really, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, you know, we're coming up here to March Madness, and you think back on those Bruin teams. I mean, how many national titles did you guys win?
When I was there, it was only one. We won John Wooden's, but it was a big one. It was Coach Wooden's final championship, his 10th championship in 12 years in 1975.
Wow.
We should have won the year before. We had Bill Walton and Jamal Wilson and just this great, great team the year before. We were upset by David Thompson at North Carolina State in 74. And then a team that didn't quite have the level of talent but had a much higher level of commitment. At that 1975 team, my sophomore year, we went all the way and won a championship.
Yeah,
you know, in 77, it was the Marquette Warriors.
Yeah,
That was Al McGuire and that team. I liked watching. This city went crazy when they won that national championship. Man, it was incredible. And then to watch the Badgers last year get so close and not get that, but to get to that game was such a big deal. So, hey, last question. Do you still follow UCLA basketball? Are you a Steve Alford fan?
I like Steve. You know, he's had a tough year this year. I was at a game. I was the honorary captain last Thursday. They played against Utah. So I had a chance to watch him and to spend some time out at UCLA. And they haven't watched a lot of games because of the commitment with the Milwaukee Bucks. But he's got a great recruiting class coming in next year and the year after that. So he's doing the right things. And I think given time, he's going to continue to have success. He's been to two Sweet 16s in a row.
You bet.
This is the down year this year.
Well,
you know, the fans at UCLA, we've got we keep the pressure on coaches. We've got high expectations out there.
Well, if Kayvon Looney would have stuck around another year, he's a Milwaukee guy.
Right.
You know, that would have helped, but being a one and out, that's tough. Guys, we got to get to a break. Marcus, thank you so much for your time. Keep up the good work. Keep utilizing the platform that the Lord has given you, and we just really appreciate your time today.
All right. I appreciate you guys giving me this opportunity, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Marcus.
You bet. Again, that's Marcus Johnson, former Milwaukee Buck, current TV voice for the Milwaukee Bucks. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Back to Faith in the Zone, a journey on how people in sports walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Here's host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church. Marcus Johnson.
Sure, that was very, very enjoyable.
We should have asked him if he can still rebound and play defense and pass the ball a little bit.
see if he can find us in the corners.
Yeah, if we could get this old guy 3-on-3 tournament going, and he could be our partner.
Yeah, somebody's going to think that we rigged that team, man.
Well, we'd need a fourth, so if he could bring Junior Bridgman, Sidney Moncrief, Bob Lanier, one of those boys,
we'd be all right.
We would be just fine. Lorenzo Romar, I've seen him. He can still play.
Yeah.
You know, his testimony for me, Pastor, was very powerful. And to be able to come on a station like this, willing to come on a station like this and say, hey, look, even back when I was with the Bucks, there were some dark times. There were some things that maybe you guys didn't know I was going through. And I was able to go out in public and put one face on and then go, you know, in the dark and do the stuff that I was doing. For him to say that, I think is really powerful and say, look, this is the way that I got out of it. I think that there's people that are listening, they're going to say, look, if he can do it, you know, let me see if I can't do it. And I think his words are going to ring out to a lot of listeners this week.
Transparent testimony. I mean, this is what I was, but now this is who I am. And just powerful how Christ, I mean, the Lord's changed us, Mike.
Yes.
I mean,
there's
so,
no doubt.
So, I mean, the ones, the folks that we've had on the broadcast, and I mean, there's so many out there. I mean, we haven't even touched the surface of whether it be athletes or just your blue-collar working people who have made they had to have a journey of faith begin too.
Sure.
With Jesus Christ, and it was these people that God brought into His life. I mean, I loved hearing about what he said about John Wooden, that Coach Wooden, a great man of faith, loved the Lord, but he didn't try to cram it down my throat.
Right.
He lived it, and he said that was part of the seed that God was putting there. You know, from my parents to John Wooden to Lorenzo to others that were, they were walking the walk. I mean, they weren't just talking the talk. They were, you know, they were walking, realizing my walk is talking a little bit louder than my talks.
You know, the music that we play, the theme music of Faith in the Zone is Good Seed Project by Pastor Marlon Locke. And in that song, and I use it when I go out and speak, is the line, you know, I'm not the man that I want to be, but I thank God I'm not the man I used to be. And I think that Marcus Johnson would utilize that line as well, because you can just tell in his voice how happy he is right now. And when I talked about, you know, your father would be so proud of you right now, he would be. He'd be so happy that Marcus has become the man that he had hoped for and prayed for, I'm sure. And it takes some of us a little bit longer to get to that point than it does others. But thank goodness that Marcus has gotten there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I look forward to him being in the Milwaukee area and how he's going to – I mean, God's given him a platform, and he can – as you, I like how you like to say it, shout from the...
Get up on the mountaintop,
get
baby.
Get up on the mountaintop, shout it out, and that he was going to let people know, hey, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. You can't get to God any other way through him.
I love the fact that he got in some spats with his best friend when they coached his son, because...
I don't know that we got in a lot of spats.
Well, I talked a lot behind your back, I'll tell you that. No, I didn't. I'm only kidding. Pastor, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. It's good to see you.
Yeah, I'm going to head out.
Safe travels.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Tell Kurt good luck. Give him a hug. Tell him I love him.
Yeah, tell him to not foul the guy on the three-point
line.
Tell
him to just play hard. Strong with the ball, knock down shots. Thanks for listening. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM. The Fan.
You've been listening to Faith in the Zone with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner. You can hear Faith in the Zone every Sunday at 8 a.m. To find past shows, exclusive podcast, or to contribute with an inside tip for a guest, simply go to faithinthezone.com. Faith in the Zone is an inside look at people of sports and their walk in faith. Join us again next Sunday for Faith in the Zone, right here on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Was it really amazing grace? Now I know for certain, Lord, it was you that rescued me.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.